plate a potential nugget.
The other piece I wanted to discuss, Venkat, was just attitude towards money, right? And in a lot of ways, I guess how we give, one of the prerequisites for that is the way we relate with money. And what are what are some of the common places where you see people trip in the way they relate to money? And therefore it coming in the way of their approach to giving.
Right. Yeah, I think there must be definitely evidence that money brings happiness up to a certain point. I think that's a no-brainer.
Right.
But after a certain point, the law of diminishing marginal returns will definitely kick in, and the incremental value of money tends to go down. Unfortunately, the process of wealth creation does a lot of things in terms of our attitude formation. Mm-hmm. Right. You create wealth by participating in the rat race. If you don't participate in the rat race, you won't create wealth. In the first place. So participating in the rat race then becomes a habit. Once it's become a habit, your money starts becoming a lot of other things to you. It's your social status, it is your prestige, it is how your family sees you, it is how you want your family to see themselves relative to other families. It's, where my friend went for a vacation versus where I went for a vacation, living up with the Joneses, as they say. Sharma ji ka beta dekho kya kar raha hai kind of stuff, all of that. So I think you get caught into that trap after a point of time. I think that's the problem with money, is that it's kind of like a drug. You get addicted to it, and you get addicted to creating more and more of it. Money also brings a lot of power, right? Yep. Even philanthropically speaking, one of the biggest challenges for philanthropists to not give away all their wealth, even when they can, is because they wonder what will they do after that. Because today, every time an NGO comes with folded hands to them, there is this huge feeling of power that you have, right? And if you give away all your money, then you're losing all that power also. Mm. I'm sure that plays in the back of people's minds around why they don't give it all away upfront. Mm. Money brings a lot of power everywhere. And I think people get used to that. So that's also a drug. You get used to that thing. I think these are the deleterious effects of money. And I think we get caught in that trap, then you get sucked deeper and deeper into the vortex. And after a point, it becomes difficult to pull yourself out.
And therefore, how have you thought about getting people to think about how much to give? Currently, Living My Promise, you are urging people to consider 50% of their net worth, is it?
Net worth. Yes.
Net worth. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about how you've thought about, how much?
I think the easiest way to do it is identify what you really need. Gandhiji used to say there's enough in the world for everybody's need and not for even one man's greed. I think identify what you need. The earlier you do it, the better in life. Because as we get older, our needs we get used to more and more things, and then our needs start growing. When we were kids, somebody in the neighborhood used to have a telephone. You used to be very lucky if somebody in your neighborhood had a telephone, right? So a telephone was not a need. Washing machine was definitely not a need. Fridge was not a need. TV was not a need. None of these things were need. Now all of these have become very basic essentials. Now even the Roomba is becoming a need for most people. So I think the earlier you can make this choice, the better it is. And in that sense, I think, for Sridhar, me, Subir, the fact that we quit the corporate world and went into this, non-profit space very early in our lives is actually a very big thing before we really hit the major big bucks. Mm. Otherwise, we would have got used to business class travel, 5-star. We'd done, in Sony, in IBM, we were all traveling, not business class, but traveling flights, staying in 5-star hotels. So, it was like 1 year of that experience. So we got out of it pretty quickly before it became a habit. And when we were in Eklavya, we used to go and stay in places where we used to pay 150 rupees a room night, 50 rupees a room night, lodges, other stuff like that. And you realize ki chalta hai life yaar usme. The lodge is like your home, right? In our homes, we never used to have AC in those days.
Right.
It was luxury to have an air conditioner in a home in those days. कभी नहीं जिंदगी में ऐसी देखा था तो क्या जरूरत है आई थिंक अर्लियर इन योर लाइफ यू कैन मेक दीज कॉल्स द बेटर बट द लार्जर पॉइंट बीइंग इफ यू कैन आइडेंटिफाई व्हाट योर बेसिक नीड्स आर and say, okay, this much and no further. And everything else I have more than that, I'm going to give up. I would say that's the best thing.
Got it.
And I'm honestly not fussed about what you give it away for.
Mm.
I'm saying give it away to your relatives who are in less good shape than you. Give it to a temple, church, masjid, whatever you want to. Or give it for a philanthropic cause, whatever you want to. But alienate the money away from yourself. And I think there's a big advantage to the individual in it. I think when you, you know, it's de-addicting yourself from money, right? That's the beauty of that. When you give away everything you don't need, or you at least set it aside saying, this is not mine. It's so liberating. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer dependent on money. You're no longer addicted to it anymore, right? So tomorrow you want to quit your private equity job. You want to quit your consulting job because you have an anal boss, or you want to, or just getting too much. You got no work-life balance. You want to spend time with family, whatever it is. I think not needing money is the most liberating experience you can have.
Mm.
Right? The other one being not having anybody, any family. It's a very liberating experience in the sense of not having a wife, kids, etc. Because, I mean, honestly, if I want to go to, you know, the tribal Andamans and spend the rest of my life there today, I can do it. Mm. I don't have to worry about a kid who needs to go to a good school or a wife who doesn't want to come there or anything else like that, right? I don't owe anything to anybody. I can just get up and go.
Mm.
And I think similarly, if you keep your needs very simple and low, and I'm not saying stop earning. Please make as much money as you can out of your private equities and McKinsey's of the world. But if you can keep your needs lower and lower and lower, it's far more empowering for you. You have that much more freedom and control over your own life. And at the end of the day, that's the... I mean, what more important in your life than having control over it yourself?
A similar anecdote came up in my conversation with Prakash Iyer, a fellow IMA alumnus and ex-country head of Kimberly-Clark, and now a coach and an author. He speaks about how his relationship with money gave him the freedom to pursue what he really cared about.
I'd probably say this, that as some, you know, like a lot of other kids coming out of middle-class India, financial goals were important in the early stage of, in the early stages of our lives, and therefore, you know, it was important for you to kind of make enough bread and butter and some jam. But beyond that, I guess I've been swayed by this guy. You know, there's this interesting story of how Joseph Heller apparently was at this party thrown by an investment banker in New York.
This is the guy who wrote Catch 22.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Joseph Heller was, you know, but a friend of his took him along and said, come, it's a great party. You'll meet all the who's who of the city. And as he went there, it was a great evening, lots of crystal, the finest wine. And as Joseph Heller stood sipping a drink, his friend said, you know, do you realize that our host, the investment banker, probably makes more money in a day than you do, than you have in a lifetime. And Joseph Heller said, you know, that's probably true. But you know something? I have something he'll never have. And the friend says, what? And Joseph Heller says, enough. And that's a story that's kind of stayed with me. And in a sense, I think I spent the last few years of my life saying, hey, I think I need to learn to say enough. And the minute I know I have enough, you're sorted.
Right.
You don't really need to worry about it. And then you're free to go and do what you want to do.
If you're into Bollywood, then this is like the English equivalent of the dialogue from the movie Deewar between Amitabh Bachchan and Shashi Kapoor. A slightly modified version of the dialogue would capture the essence of the point here, where Amitabh would say, mere paas gaadi hai, bangla hai, property hai, bank balance hai, kya hai tumhare paas, hai? Kya hai? And Shashi Kapoor would pause for a couple of seconds, look him in the eye and say, mere paas enough hai. Personally speaking, trying to adopt an I have enough mindset than a I need more mindset has been tremendously liberating for me and empowering in terms of the personal and professional choices that I've gotten to make over the last few years. A lot of us who come from middle-class backgrounds believe that our attitudes towards money are what they were when we were kids. But as Venkat says, the process of wealth accumulation, unbeknownst to us, slowly but steadily changes our attitudes towards money. Here's a perspective from another individual, Sudhir Shenoy, who was a fellow member in Social Venture Partners in Mumbai and head of Dow Chemicals in India. And he speaks about why he signed up for Living My Promise.
At some level, I always knew that I was committed to giving a significant part of my wealth towards philanthropy. But Living My Promise helped put some structure into it. It made it more formal for myself. It helped me to start taking concrete actions versus kind of figuring it out later on. It forced me to think about whether I wanted to give it to a specific cause, a specific organization, whether I wanted to retain some part of it for something that I would be involved myself in my retirement days and so on. Additionally, it's helped me network into a wonderful family of philanthropists, a great network that helps me connect to others who are associated with similar and other causes, a lot of learning opportunity. And of course, eventually, it also created a buzz amongst my network, a lot of other people. It forces them to start thinking about how they want to approach things, especially as people in my network get into their 50s and start to think about the next phase of life. So all in all, it's been a fantastic journey thus far.